The mimer we're going to learn today was from Shabbos Parshas Kisovei. It was recited on Chai Elul. And we're going to do something I don't like to do so much, because we're going to skip around a little bit. I'm not going to do the whole mimer, like, only because of the limitation of time. So we'll start it off, and then we're going to kind of skip to where we get a little bit of an answer to the question. V'hoyo Kisovei la'aretz, so it shall come to pass when you come into the land, which God is giving you, you will inherit and settle in it. This is the verse that opens Parshas Kisovei. In the Medrash Tanchuma, in the beginning of the Parsha, it says that this is the meaning of the Pasuk. This is the Pasuk that says, let us prostrate and kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. The Medrash says like this: Tzipa Meisha b'Ruach HaKedesh. Meisha Rabbeinu foresaw, was able to look into the future with this Holy Spirit, with Meisha's higher form of consciousness and vision. V'Ruach, and he saw Shabbos Hamikdash Asad Licharef, that the Beis Hamikdash would one day be destroyed. V'Habikurim Asidim LiPasek, and that the firstling fruits which are brought by the Jewish people in the Beis Hamikdash would cease to be a reality. Omad. So the Medrash Tanchuma says Moshe Rabbeinu at that point established the notion of praying three times a day. Now this, of course, is very interesting, because sometimes we hear about Avram doing it and Yitzchak doing it, and then we hear about the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah establishing the prayers, but here it's Moshe Rabbeinu establishing the prayers. Really, this is not really that much of a contradiction. You have to understand that it all refers to different levels of prayer and how the prominence of prayer, or what prayer meant to our people at particular times. But at any rate, there is an element of Moshe Rabbeinu setting prayer into motion, or the system of prayer. So there's a famous diuk from our Rabbeim. This is found in primarily in Eirat Torah of the Tzemach Tzedek. Ma inyin gimel tefilas etzel bikurim. What does davening three times a day, or Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, or Amida, what does that have to do with firstling fruit? I mean, firstling fruit's nice. If you told me that Shacharis is like Bikurim, I would have an easy time understanding that. It's the first thing of the day, start your day off, you come and daven, fine, okay. But if you tell me that Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv, or Ma'ariv Shacharis Mincha, is actually, that's Bikurim, like, it's puzzling. What does that mean? And the Rebbe adds in the Diuk, that the diuk lashon hamedrash is that shiyu mispalim b'chol yom. It's not just the emphasis shiyu mispalim they should daven, but should daven daily. Like l'cha'ira, on the surface, that sounds very unusual as being connected to bikurim, because bikurim are not every day. Bikurim are only certain times, rather than prayer, which is all the time. In other words, besides the fact that bikurim have the limitations, that the fact that Bikurim was not from the beginning of Chomid Eretz Yisrael. It was only 7 years after they conquered, and then 7 years after they divided. And then after that point, Bikurim began, whereas prayers began right away. The other thing is, the time of bringing Bikurim is limited. You can bring Bikurim from the time of Atzeres, from Shavuot, until Achag, until Sukkos. Or there's an idea of bringing Bikurim without the entire prayer as we do it, as the Mishnah Bikurim says, until Chanukah. Then this has to be understood. How did tefillah, which is a constant, a regular, all the time, how did that become the substitute for Bikurim? And it's like regular, and it's three times a day. It's not only daily, it's three times a day. And this has specific times. Times when you do it, and times when you don't. So what's the connection? Well, the Havin calls there, in order to try and understand this business of Bikurim and how davening or tefillah takes the place of firstling fruits. So in order to understand this, the hine Bikurim nikru b'shem reishis. Bikurim are called first, k'mesher kasov. Like it says in Parshas Mishpatim, reishis bikurei ad maschah. In Parshas Mishpatim, this is the first time Bikurim are mentioned, not in detail, not like a detail of this week's Parsha, but it's mentioned. And it's called reishis, the firstling, the very first. V'heim koid min l'truma. Bikurim come prior to the special tithe which is set aside for the Kohanim. K'mesher kasuv. Like it says, and this is also in Parshas Mishpatim, a little bit earlier. Milayoscha v'dim acha loisa acher, which milayoscha v'dim acha, for reasons beyond what we're going to talk about today, refer to the concept of truma, and it says that truma, that which fills your wine vats, and that which fills your olive presses, loita acha shouldn't be brought late, meaning that things should be brought in order. And the order is shahabikurim koidim l'truma. The firstling fruit comes before truma. Ve'ein la'achar davar sheroi lagdimai. You shouldn't delay something which is supposed to come right away. So that is that the farmer, when he would finally see some blossoms on his tree, all his hard work's paying off, the first thing he would do is identify which were the first blossoms that appeared. Tie a little bit of yarn or a piece of a ribbon around it. And then he'd come back later on once the fruit had reached maturation and had the yarn and the ribbon. And he said, this is the first thing fruit. Take those fruits. He would pick them, harvest them, separate them, put them aside in a basket, and that basket would be transported to Yerushalayim. Then they would harvest everything. And only after the harvest was completed, then the truma would be given. Kipsaka Rambam, which this comes down in Halacha, and there is no other Pesach. Nobody else talks about this in terms of Halacha, so Halacha is like the Rambam. And he says that clearly. Vayidei bikurim v'truma, and through the firstling fruit, and later on the truma, that which is lifted from the entire harvest and given to the Kohen, poiter mechakach es kol akri. That's how the entirety of the harvest is, so to speak, exempted or released. V'nimtza, so it turns out, shehakri yesh begimlin yanim, that when you talk about the harvest, you talk about bringing in that which had grown during the time when things grow, and then you have to harvest them and bring it home. So you have like three madregas, three levels. There's bikurim, there's the firstling fruit, then there's truma, and then there's the harvest. Uvikivan shigimul and yanim elu yeshna ba'ilam, because there are these three levels in the world, so they must be so on a spiritual level, because we know istakel be'raisa ubar alma. God took a look into the Torah, says the Zohar, and then He created the world. So whatever's there in the world had to have a root source originally on a spiritual level, when God looked into the Torah. So it's got to be there already. And the question is, what might that represent? What are Bikurim? What is Truma? What is the Kri? What we call the harvest? And if there is such a concept, spiritually speaking, then it has to also be reflected microcosmically within every one of our lives. Because we, as human beings, reflect the whole world of the cosmos. As the famous metaphor goes, that a drop of water can reflect the entire sun. Every one of us reflects a much bigger picture. So now, the first question was, what does truma and prayer, what's the connection between the two? The second question we're asking is, we're trying to understand the place of Bikurim, or the spiritual level of Bikurim, and what that might mean on a spiritual level, on a non-literal level, and more importantly, perhaps, what that means in our own souls, within the schematic of the human being. So the explanation is as follows. Behold, it is known, Masham Razal, that which our sages tell us, and this is found in the Bereishis Rabbah, one of the first Midrashim, that it says, Shiva Dvarim Kodmu Leilam. Seven things came before the world. Ubinehem, and amongst them, Torah V'Yisrael, Shekodmu Leilam. That before God created reality as we know it, before the cosmos were brought into existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yisrael. Then the Medrash says, Aval Ein Yedea Mikodom L'Mi. I know they all came prior to the reality of Bereishis Bara Elokim. I know they came before the cosmos. However, which came first? Was it Torah or was it Yisrael? In the Midrashim that were preserved from the Yeshiva of Eliyahu Hanavi. And this is also brought in these Memarim. Dani Omer she Yisrael kadma l'chol davar. That we come to the conclusion that it was the nation of Israel that came prior to everything. Gam la Torah. Torah is very, very ancient, but the Jewish people come before Torah. Obviously on a spiritual level. Dehine. The world, in the metaphor, is like the harvest. That's what Hashem created. That's what you're left with. Here's your harvest. Here's what you have to work with. And then there are two levels of reishis. Shem Kedim Lakri, which they come before the harvest can be identified, for the harvest can be set aside. What are those two? Bikurim and Truma. Then Haim and Bikurim and Truma are reflected through the idea or the prism of Torah and Yisrael. Ukemaimer, like it says, and this is another medrash, a medrash which is quoted extensively in many places, that when it comes to the word of creation, the first word of the Torah, it says Bereshis, in the beginning. And Bereshis we say, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reshis, or Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reshis, that the word Reshis, which means first, a firstling, so the Bereshis is Beis Reshis. There were two Reshis, two things that came before everything else. In other words, there's a reality of Yisrael and a reality of Torah, and after God created a reality of Torah and Yisrael, God said, now we're going to create a world. And in the world, the Torah will be given to Yisrael, and the job, mission, or mandate of Yisrael in the world is going to be to make the world a perfect place and a holy place. So you have this idea that before two things which are both called Reishis. The Torah, he bechinas Truma. Why is Torah Truma? Kimavur become a chemist, like it's explained in many places. Tikkun is there in other places. Shetruma Isias Torah Mem. The word Truma is the same Hebrew letters that make up the words Torah, which is Torah, and Mem, which is the gematria of 40. Veremez la Torah, this symbolic of Torah, Shenitna, which was given la Arboim Yoim. Torah was given over 40 days. So you see there's a special connection between Torah and the notion of 40. Mashenkin Yisrael nikr bikurim. But Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is called bikurim, or the souls of Israel. Kedisa v'medesh halapasek, kibakura b'te'ena v'goymer. So we have this beautiful pasuk where the Navi Hosea speaks in Hashem's voice and he says, I saw you like a fresh fig, a fresh te'ena, the firstling growth, just like a farmer works so hard and finally winter breaks and the blossoms appear, and then there's that glorious morning when you actually see a fruit, the first fruit appears, and the excitement that it generates. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us. And it says that this is Koy Ala Ova, so this refers to the patriarchs. Shenikroyim Bikurim, who are called Bikurim. Ubimakim Achim is there, and elsewhere it says, the Yisrael Bechalal Nikroyim Bikurim, not just the Ovis, not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in fact, the nature of Am Yisrael is fully reflected through the concept of Bikurim. Ubineim Gufa Yeshna Achilek Me Bikurim Latruma. And there's a difference between Yisrael and between Torah, and it's the same difference, time wise at least, like you have between Yisrael and between the Torah. What's the difference? The difference is a hefesh b'neihem. The difference between Truma and Bikurim is which comes first? Bikurim comes first. And which comes first insofar as creation is concerned? Yisrael comes before Torah. So Yisrael is the Bikurim, and the Bikurim come before Torah. So now, okay, this is nice. Fine. So that's what comes first. This was created first. That was created second. What does that mean? From a perspective of content, perspective of meaning, what's the difference if one comes first, the second comes first? What does it mean? So in teichen it means the masha teira kadma lo'elam. When we say teira came before the world, it's the same way that truma comes before the harvest is set aside. Meaning, shahatruma yeshla kesher v'shaiches alakri. The truma is taken from the harvest. It's connected to the harvest. Shari mafrish nesim minakri. You take whatever it is you're harvesting. You say, okay, now it's all harvested. It's all taken together. Now I need to separate something from it. So I separate from it. So, but there's a connection between the truma and the rest of the harvest. In fact, they look virtually the same. One's taken from the other. V'chena teira. Hinezeh gufa sha'inu kad mala ilam. The very fact that we say the Torah comes before the world, what does that tell you? It tells you, Meira sheyesh lam kesher v'shaychus al olam. Torah is connected to the world. But we say Torah comes before the world. Elisha kadmale. Vaidzeis. Kedima zoi hi kedima mugbelas. It says also there's a limit to how much before. As the famous Medrash says, Medrash Tilum, it says, Alpayim shana kadma Torah l'olam. 2,000 years, which means 2,000 levels to the Madregas. But it's Alpayim, the number is 2,000. That's the magic number. Masha enken akdima the Yisrael la'olam, but the kedima of Yisrael la'olam who kamei abikurim. It's not a limited amount with this creed, this harvest, and there's truma, and they're very, very similar, very close to one another. No, bikurim comes before the whole kri existed. In fact, most of the things didn't even grow yet when you're identifying bikurim. And you're going around, and the farmer's tying on his little ribbons, and or his India rubber, and he's saying, Hareze bikurim. It's like nothing else exists yet, even. And that's the concept of Yisrael. Okay, so now we're going to do a little skip. You don't know, in your photocopies, I'm going to turn the page over. But I'm just telling you, we did a little skip now. We skip forward in the Maimer, and the reason we skip forward is I wanted to actually come to some kind of. I want you guys to answer, because we're going to go. The Maimer goes off on a very long, circuitous, and sophisticated discussion of Yisrael and how Yisrael interact with the world and how Torah fits into that. But the Maimer picks this, and we're going to pick it up now. Vehine, 2 pages later. Masha machashavtam shel Yisrael kadmo l'chol davar. The fact that the Jewish people, or, as we explained previously in the Maimer, the thought of the Jewish people, God thinking of us, not actually created us, but the thought of Am Yisrael. Kadmo l'chol davar, that's the first thought. It's the first thought, like it says, as if, well, it's even like almost before Chachma. It's almost like the very first image that okay, I want to call it Chachma. Yeah, first moment, so to speak, in the divine psyche. Is the idea of Yisrael. That's Bechinas Bikurim. What does this mean? Okay, what does that mean, practically speaking? Yisrael comes first. Okay. And that means? So the Rebbe says that means, this is the notion that the neshama is literally a piece of God, but the rest of creation is brought into existence by God, but it is not a piece of God. Whatever that means. Omno mare yedua. We know that not all of the neshama actually ends up in the body. Ella, rather, there's a huge part of neshama that remains on high. There's this teaching from our sages that say there's no mazel, no good fortune, no luck for you. V'yedua ha-pirish b'zeh, and it's known that the meaning of this is the neisif lazeh she'ein li Yisrael mazolis, just like the Jewish people's destiny is not controlled by the heavenly movements, by the body, by the heavenly bodies and their orbits, k'moy l'umus ha'ilum, the way it is for nations of the world, that yesh lahem mazel nai lo yeser, that they have a higher mazel. Mazel is a Hebrew term for a constellation. So the notion that the Jewish people ain lehem mazel means that we are not limited to the constellation as it were to be for the nations of the world, but we have a higher mazel, she'ein musag, which cannot be grasped, it cannot be really fully understood. It's something that goes beyond what we can fathom.
Below that is all that nature. Like even the constellations is considered nature.
The constellations is a source of nature. It's not nature. It's like, but nature is encoded into it. This is like the computer program. Everything is programmed to happen in a certain way. Okay. So the constellation is like reading the JavaScript or something. You'll know what's programmed to happen. But you can't read the JavaScript for the Jewish fortune because it's not even written in rich text. It's not written out. Ukemaimer, like the expression goes, less machashava tfisabe, no mind can grasp it. Which this is vikoyi ala makifin shebin neshama. It refers to the aura or atmospheric reality of the neshama. Ubechinas ein ze hu mazli so. Bahainu. She'eni makif kazeh she'eni poel al guf. When we say any mazel Yisrael, we mean to say is that the power of the mazel does not directly impact the nature of how a Yisrael lives his or her life. Ella yesh bei peula al haguf. It has it has an impact, but it doesn't actively animate it. Like our sages say, even though they didn't see, their mazal saw. Which means, there's a part of the neshama that remains on high. And that part of the neshama sees things and knows things. And what it sees and knows does not actually get translated into consciousness below. But, even though what the mazal sees on high, the neshama below doesn't know, nonetheless, the neshama below is influenced by the mazal. And this is the idea sometimes of a person could have a sudden fear or a sudden premonition or a certain awareness or a certain unease or a certain discomfort or a certain exhilaration. It doesn't know where it comes from. It doesn't know what it is. It doesn't understand it. What it really is the neshama communicating with a part of the neshama that remains on high. So you don't really see, you don't really understand, you don't know what's going on, but something is, so to speak, it's a subconsciousness. Something's making a difference to you. That what did the mazel do? They saw something. They couldn't read what they saw. They saw writing on the wall, so to speak. They didn't know what they were reading. And yet, it shook them up. It impacted them. There was a charada gedela naflalem. Okay. On the inyan hacharada shenimshachai de hamazel, the concept of this charada, of this tremor, of this fear that overcame them through the mazel, it wasn't as if they had clarity. They knew exactly what they saw, so they understood the communication, they assimilated the idea, and then they did something with it. All it did is it shook them up. That's what they're able to do. It's a big difference between saying something with, I know what you're saying, I know what you mean, or something's happening, I don't understand what's going on, all I know is that's throwing me off base.
It's a small bit of revelation?
It's revelation, but not in a way of pneumius. It's not downloaded in a personal way. I'm aware of something. I know there's something much bigger than me, something I can't grasp going on, and that causes a certain amount of fear or uncertainty. So that's really bitl b'metzius. That means that I'm overwhelmed by it. And that's mishum shecharada misalekes adamim. The nature of being very frightened. What happens when a person gets very frightened? When people get very scared, what does their complexion look like?
White.
They'll get white. It actually removes the flow of blood. And then later on, the blood pumps much faster. But the first thing is color drains from a person's face. The first thing is that, so to speak, the blood gets removed. And what does that mean? The blood is a metaphor, and it represents the idea of chayas, of life, of vitality. Like we say the word lifeblood. Hanushimisalekas is a chayas, but it's sicha shaba adam. It's able to move away the sense of vibrancy. A person's in a shock. A person can't function, can't react. Doesn't even know what to say. I'm overwhelmed. So that's the idea of charada, which is the idea of bittul. A person is overwhelmed. It nullifies him. Aval hakavanehi, but the intention is not to knock him out, overwhelm him. The kavani is shaham shachas b'chinas mazal sheb neshama sheb guf tiyabeifin shaleyiz batal b'metzias. The ultimate impact of the mazal should not be in a way that it overwhelms and disables the bodily reality from functioning, but on the contrary, that it enables, that it inspires. Ela adarabe. That a yid should be fully engaged. And how should he get fully engaged? He should be fully engaged because he serves Hashem as a result of the inspiration that he has from on high, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his means. This the mazel itself can't do. The mazel can shake you up. That the mazel can do by itself. But to take the mazel and translate it into a way that actually changes you, that's a mazel doesn't do. Ki im a mazel sheb neshama hichelik alikam imal, the neshama, which is the mazel, which is a piece of God, hayameir ma'atzer b'yilu b'guf lahayi ina b'chida. If the mazel would express itself fully, which means the neshama would express itself fully in the body, what would we lose? We would lose the freedom to choose. Because if we would have the neshama express itself fully within us, what would we do? Exactly what Eibishter wants. So what do we get? Just enough neshama to give us a guilty conscience. Just enough neshama to make us uncomfortable. But uncomfortable and righteous are not one and the same. There's a bit of a distance to travel from just feeling a sense of conscience to actually doing the right thing. And therefore, the whole neshama doesn't really come into the body. A part of the neshama, just enough to create unease, discomfort. And then, ubacharta b'chayim. And then we have to choose right. We have to say, yeah, I have a subconscious, I have a mazel, I have a neshama resonating inside me, and we have to choose right. Because at that point, a person would be just forced, compelled to do what Hashem wants. Since there has to be freedom of choice, we have to have what's called kav shaloi, so to speak, what the Gemara says, your own area of endeavor and achievement. The mazel does not resonate in the soul openly. You want to make the right choices in life? Make sure you daven. Davening gives us the ability to connect to the neshama inside us. The davening affects lechaber because hamazel sheb neshama, the level of mazel of the neshama, iman neshama sheb guf. Then with the neshama that's in the body, v'zeh when you're not tefila.
The davening is actually affecting the rest of your
davening affects your whole day. If you daven right in the morning, your day goes right. If you don't daven in the morning, your day don't go right. Why? Very simple. Because there is a neshama, and it's real, and it's inside us. But in order for us to bridge the gap between the neshama, which just creates unease, and actually do the right thing, we have to connect. And what is tefillah? Tefillah is the connection. Which that's why tefillah, Zohar calls it a sulam. It's a ladder. Mutz of Arza. It's rooted in the ground. Reisha Megiya Shemaima. Its top reaches the highest heavens. The idea of tefillah is lahalais b'chinas neshama shalamata. To take the neshama as it exists below, in a very, very sort of, in almost like an earthy way, in a limited way, and you have to take it up the ladder and bridge the gap to b'chinas mazal shab neshama, to neshama as it exists in the highest form. Then after you go up the ladder, which is davening is going up the ladder, till Shemin Esrei, we're climbing the ladder going up, then what do? Then we bring it down. Somebody once noted to me that it used to take the Rebbe as long to get to Shemin Esrei as it took to get from Shemin Esrei to the end of davening. But it doesn't make sense, because if you look at the amount of pages and words to be said, it's much longer before Shemin Esrei to after Shemin Esrei. But on the clock, it always went that way. It took the Rebbe whatever it was to get to Shemin Esrei, and then the same amount of time to get to Ach Tzadikim. So he said to me, for a Rebbe to get to Atzilus, for the Rebbe to climb the mountain is very easy. For the Rebbe to leave the mountain, that's very hard. That doesn't go easy. And that's why it takes as much time. So the whole idea is, the neshama is going up, then the neshama coming down. The ladder has two ways. It goes up and down. And the whole idea is that the neshama below has to be elevated so that it can link with the source, with the mazel on high, and then to be mamshach, to actualize and bring down the neshama below. And this is why tefillah comes from the terminology of chibur, of connection, of bonding. A person who attaches additional pottery, additional clay. And the word is teufel, like tefillah. Tefillah on a very literal level is asking for your needs, which is halah, reaching out to God. And hopefully if prayer works, we ask for our needs, we re-elevate ourselves, bring ourselves before God, prostrate and say, please give me. And then God hopefully responds and gives, and that's the idea of Hamshacha, sends the blessings down into our world. This happens when a person stands in tefillah in a state of absolute bittul, like the servant before the master, the subject before the king. Like an eved who's bittul to the melech, he's totally nullified. But what happens is, when the eved stands before the melech, we say, eved melech melech. When the eved is totally bittul to the king, then the eved, when this servant of the king goes forth, who does he represent? The king himself. So people see the Eved not as an independent entity, but they ultimately see the Eved as an expression, an extension of the king himself. And so we, as the language of Chazal goes, Masha kona Eved, kona Rabbi. If the servant acquired it, he didn't acquire it. He is transparent. He doesn't exist as an independent entity. The master acquired it. So, and this is the idea, because the Eved is not a Matthias by himself. Now, my friends, we can understand the shaychus of bikurim to tefillah. What's the connection? That was a question. Bikurim, tefillah, what's the connection? Because bikurim is Yisrael. We are called bikurim. Kodma l'chol davar, we come before everything. However, that's very nice, but it's a theory. It's a heavenly reality. It's not a reality that's seen on this world. A person could be a yid and live a life like a total Gentile, a life which is totally empty of spirituality. So I am, person says, I am a Yid, but my life is not Jewish. I don't live a Jewish life. What's the point? You are a Yid means you have the potential to live a Jewish life, but factually you're not living a Jewish life. But how can the idea of Bikurim, that you are, that you come first, and you're the Hashem chose you, and so on and so forth, how can this be revealed lamata in this world? That's al yedei hatfila. That's through prayer. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash used to help us become who we could become. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, when there'll be no Beis HaMikdash, the people will be able to recognize, to realize, to actualize who they could become. So what should we do then? So therefore, that's why he established the concept of prayer, because prayer takes the place like a Beis HaMikdash. And here's the nice thing. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we only got to bring Bikurim sometimes. But now, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we get to do this all the time. And that's sometimes the silver lining of an exilic reality. And that's the answer to the question as to Bikurim as a specific time, but prayer isn't always time. The answer is yes. There's a milah, there's a virtue in the present situation. And that's the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we could really only fully connect and have the Anisa V'Amarta, raise your voice up and do what you accomplished with Bikurim, only in the Beis HaMikdash itself. But now, in today's day and age, a person can have this connection every single day of his life.
Didn't they have it before? But
they had it through Bikurim, but only for a limited time. But now we can have it through Tefillah all the time. And now you understand the link between Bikurim and Tefillah. Now the Medrash makes sense. The Moshe Rabbeinu saw that we know Beis HaMikdash. How will the Jewish people actualize their Bikurim-like reality? The answer is Ayidat Tefillah. And we also ask the question, but Bikurim is in a limited time, and this is always. And the answer is, indeed, Ein Hachinami, it is so. But that's the point. This is the virtue of the time of Galus, that now we're able to do B'chol Yom V'Yom, every day, or even three times a day, that which in the time of the Beis HaMikdash only had a very limited, so to speak, space, or particular area or time, was not something that could be experienced all the time.
Why did they call it Bikurim instead of Truma?
Because Truma is the Torah, and Bikurim is Yisrael. Bikurim means first, like Lashon Bechor. And in order to actualize your first, but you, your potential, this we have, the Tefillah. The Tefillah is what connects the Neshama below with the Neshama on high. And there's much more to say. Like I said, there's only an excerpt. That I didn't find the short mimer, so I used a longer mimer. It's only a piece of the mimer. But nonetheless, at least we have a question, we have an answer, and you have a beautiful idea to ruminate on and go into Shabbos with. Shabbat Shalom, good Shabbos to all of our listeners from the whole wide world who join us every single day as another beautiful week comes to a close and we get ready for Shabbos Kodesh.